Your hair looks so good, too. The line is, like, back to, like, perfect.
It's, like, perfect. Yeah. And, like, this side's way darker and mm-hmm. this side's way lighter. When I came out, when I tell you my hair was fucking purple.
Yeah.
It was, like,
it still kind of has the purple hue to it.
Yeah, like, well, I've been using purple shampoo because, like, not that I want to keep the purple, but I want to keep, like, that icy, like, color.
Right.
So, but, like, it was fucking, like, purple. But really? I, like, liked the purple.
Yeah, I like it, too.
So, I'm not really mad either way.
Yeah.
But, like, this side is, like, one step below what black would be.
Right. Right.
And she was like, I'm not dyeing your hair black. And I was like, that's totally fine.
Right.
But, like, I want to be close to
close
black.
To it. Right.
Yeah. Which, this is a really nice color.
Yeah, it
I've
is.
Been, like, pushing all my hair to the side and, like, seeing what I look like with just black hair and then seeing what I look like with just blonde. I don't like myself with just blonde hair.
No, I would hate you. Weird. You would look like a fucking ghost because you're lighter than light. Yeah. No offense.
No, I'm aware.
It's okay. Yeah. Okay, should I start this now that I just offended you? Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Future is Bright? I'm Lindsay.
I'm Bridget.
Yeah. I just offended Bridget.
I mean, she didn't offend me. She just called me sickly white, but that's okay.
I mean, what else is new?
She said basically you look like a corpse.
Yeah, that's literally what I said. I mean, you've seen pictures of Bridget. Can you imagine her with platinum white hair?
If you're any fucking darker, bro. At least I get tan. You burn. So,
well, no, I don't. Yeah, I do. You're right. At least I have freckles.
I wish I had freckles.
I love my freckles. But
no, you're the one that says that you don't like your freckles.
No, I love my freckles.
Do you?
Yeah, I love them.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you're the one that says that you didn't like
them. No, I like them. I don't know. Maybe your other best friend?
I don't have those, so. Can't relate.
We were talking about Bridget's platinum blonde hair, because Bridget currently has one half of her head white hair, one half black hair. Pretty cool, badass
Cruella
bitch,
DeVille
if you ask me.
Vibes.
She's pretty sick. So we were saying if her whole head is white, she would literally just look terrible. No offense. Bridget.
First sickly, now terrible.
Bridget, it would just literally wash you out.
It would, yeah.
Like, it just would totally wash you out.
I would look
this
like
this is, like,
I was
perfect.
Sick.
Like, it's, like, the best
art
chemistry teacher vibes to me.
Biology, but thanks.
Oh.
I like that you listen when I talk.
I knew science. Fuck, you know. Whatever. I meant, because what I wanted to say was, see, I forgot biology again. I was going to say biology teacher, that when you walk into the room, you're like, that should be an art teacher.
Yeah.
You know? That's
like
the vibes you give off.
Your science teacher was never normal.
Right.
Might as well start out.
You look like Miss Frizzle from...
Dude, when I tell you, I strive to be Miss Frizzle.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
You kind of look like her, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Besides the red hair.
Yeah. I've had that at one point.
So. Yeah, you have. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have nothing to bullshit about besides that, so. We're both getting tattoos soon, eventually.
Yeah, I gotta make those appointments.
Yeah.
You
also have to design my other one.
Yes, I do. I forget about it.
My mom said she likes that idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Cute.
But I don't know if it's gonna work, because I want it small. Like, super small. Like, want
it
here
small.
You're
gonna need to get it, like, big.
I know.
Not big, but
I
would say, like,
small.
Like, at least the size of this girl.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Why?
Because small is gonna bleed, and it's just gonna make it look like it's one big mess. That's why.
But what I want is a treble. Is that what the note is? A treble clef?
It's the, like, beginning part of the
treble. Like, yeah, like
of
the
like sheet music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want that, but I think it's called a treble clef.
It is. Yeah. You're right.
I want that, but I want a pair of Converse shoes hanging off the bottom of it. And the only part of it that's going to be color. So I want it black lined. And then I want the shoes to be red.
Yeah, that's cute.
But I understand what you're saying. That because the shoes are going to be the smallest part. And those are going to bleed. So I get
Yeah,
that.
I would say literally probably as big as... Not this part, just the girl itself.
Yeah, that's, like, too big for me.
But, I mean, if you get it here, it'll be like that.
Yeah, no. I want it, like, right here.
Yeah, so it'll... Well, you can go up your arm a little bit further.
Like this. I want this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I have to see.
I'm like, look.
That's
small.
Big.
I'm like, look. It'll be your whole forearm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know what small is when it comes to tattoos, so that's also
I tried to look up, like, I even tried to look up, like, small, like, lined artists to, like, see. Because, like, I genuinely.
There are some of them.
I really do want it small. And I was like, maybe I have to go to an artist that, like, does small.
There's this
But I don't know.
I don't know if it's a girl or a guy, to be mm-hmm. completely honest with you, but there's this artist at Da Vinci's, mm-hmm. not the girl that I go to, a new artist, okay. that they, like, specialize in, like, black line work.
Really?
So, yeah.
Maybe I'll just go talk to someone, like, once I have the design and say, like, I really just want this small, like, you know. See, like,
how small can you make
it, like,
if I want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not gonna look gross, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I don't want it too big, because I still get, like, a little bit worried about tattoos for some reason, but... Yeah.
Yeah. I did, too, at first.
Yeah.
Yeah. We passed that point.
Yeah. Yes. Well, because this is going to be my first one that's going to be, like, visible, like, on my arm.
Like, all the time. Visible, yeah.
Right. Like, my legs, I can still hide with pants and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can. The rest are on your back, so you don't see them.
Right. My arm, I always, like, I never wear in long sleeves. Like, at work, nothing, really, ever. So, that's why.
Yeah, no, you'd see it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But...
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it.
I still don't know where the fuck I want to get ours.
I know, me either. That's my issue, is I have no idea.
I think I want it on my calf, like on my calf.
Yeah. Somewhere. I think I said I want it, I don't remember where I said I wanted it. Oh, on the outside, so I can get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. We'll see. Out. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, should I start this?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. So, you're not allowed to look anything up.
I'm not going to.
You guys can't. I really can't control you, but I can control Lindsay, and you're not going to look anything up.
Not going to.
So, this is the case, or the story, or the murder of Donna Winger.
Does not sound familiar.
Okay, great. Good. So...
I have a bad memory, though, so who knows?
It's okay.
Okay.
So, on August 29th, 1995, in Springfield, Illinois, Mark Winger made a very panicked 911 call.
Uh-oh.
He was... basically yelling, and stated, quote, "My wife isn't breathing." And the 911 operator asked if he needed an ambulance. Stupid question, but whatever.
Right.
And he goes, quote, "I need everything. I need everything."
Oh.
He sounded, like, frantic, like he couldn't, like, breathe, like, basically. And he then states, quote, "I just shot this man in my house. He beat my wife."
Oh, shit.
And the 911 operator asks, "Is the man still in the house?" And Mark replies, quote, "Yeah, he's laying on the floor with a bullet in his head."
Oh, shit.
And the 911 operator asked, "Did you shoot him?" And Mark replies, "Yes, I shot him. He's killing my wife. My baby's crying. My baby's crying. I gotta go. I'll call you back."
Shit. Oh.
And hung up the phone.
Oh, so much going on.
Yeah. Cold open.
Wow.
So, thank you for asking the really important question. Who the hell is Mark? And who's his wife?
Yeah, who the hell are they?
And also, who is this man?
I think it's, so as soon as you told me this, husband, wife, lover, he walked in on them.
Like,
doing it, and he, that's automatically what I thought.
That's a good guess.
Right.
So, there's not a whole lot told about Mark and Donna's, background.
Okay.
But Mark was a nuclear engineer.
Wow.
And Donna was an operating room tech.
Damn.
So.
Smart people.
I literally said two smart ass people. So.
Literally.
Yeah. They got married in 1989.
Okay.
And soon they both moved in together in Springfield because Mark got a job there.
Okay.
And Donna eventually found a job at Memorial Hospital in Springfield as well. So they both worked there.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
So the couple, like I said, was two extremely smart people. They had great jobs. They had a nice house. Like, they were fucking set.
Right.
And they were ready to start having kids, but they discovered that Donna wasn't able to have kids.
Aww.
And they were basically, like, devastated by this news because, like, they really wanted to have kids. However, fate was on this couple's side, and it just so happened that a very young teenage girl ended up having a baby in the hospital that Donna worked at.
Oh, wow.
In 1995.
Okay.
And the girl didn't want to keep the baby, so she was looking for somebody to adopt the baby.
Okay. Like,
and they were
adoption.
Like, gotcha,
damn.
No problem.
That's cool.
So in June of 1995, Mark and Donna adopted the baby.
Right.
And named her Bailey Elizabeth Winger.
I love that. Okay.
So real cute.
Yeah.
So we got this, like, big-ass happy family. And their families were also excited that they were able to
have a baby
because
finally.
They didn't think that they were going to. So in August 1995, Donna took Bailey to Florida to see her family.
Right.
And they spent about a week there and then flew back to Illinois on August 23rd.
Okay.
From the airport, Donna had hired, like, a shuttle or, like, a taxi to take them back because she didn't want to try and drive because Bailey's 3 months old
right,
at this point.
Right.
So the man driving the taxi was named Roger Harrington.
Oh, God. Uh-huh.
And this was, like, the fucking car ride from hell.
Oh, shit.
So Roger worked for the transportation right. company, obviously. But he had a history of domestic violence and mental illness.
Oh, God.
So this whole ride, he was driving like a fucking psycho, talking about how he hears voices that tell him to do violent things.
Oh, God.
He was talking about getting high. He was talking about having multiple personalities.
Like, oh, God.
All this shit. So she was obviously scared.
Right.
Because of, A, this man's driving like a lunatic, and, B, she has a 3-month-old child
right.
in the car. So, despite all that, Donna and the baby made it home.
Oh, here safe. I am thinking that this is the no, man. Okay.
We're good. So.
Okay.
However, when okay. she got home, she realized now this man knows where she lives.
Oh.
So she told Mark about Roger.
Right.
And he called the transportation company, and ultimately the transportation company suspended Roger.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
Right.
But in the next few days, the couple kept getting phone calls to their house asking to speak to Donna and basically harassing the family with phone calls.
Oh, God.
And they both assumed that it was Roger calling.
Right,
because
right.
weird. Right. So that whole thing happened.
Right.
So now this brings us back to the 29th. Mark mm-hmm. called 911.
Right.
After he made the 911 call, the police came to the house and walked into a brutal crime scene.
Oh, God.
So they arrived at the house and the front door was wide open. They found Donna, who was 31 at the time, laying on the floor, basically in a pool of her own blood.
Aww.
She had 7 wounds on her head and she was lying face down.
Aww.
So a few feet from her, there was another man lying on the ground face up who had been shot in the head.
Okay.
Laying next to him was a hammer that was also covered in blood.
Hmm.
So they were actually both alive when the police
oh,
got there.
Okay.
And an ambulance arrived, rushed to the hospital. I think they both ended up dying on the way to the mm-hmm. hospital or at...
Right.
Like, I
right.
mean, they both died. But it was either on the way to the hospital or in the hospital.
Right.
So at the house, the police had to, like, calm Mark down, obviously.
Right.
He was covered in blood and was in, like, fucking shambles.
God.
But eventually the police were able to calm him down enough to get him to say, like, what the fuck happened.
Happened, right.
So he said that he had been on the treadmill in, like, downstairs, like, in the basement.
Right.
When he heard a thud from upstairs, and he went upstairs to make sure that everything was okay, because both Donna and the baby were obviously
right.
in the house. And he went upstairs and he found Bailey alone on Mark and Donna's bed.
Aww.
So he automatically assumed something was wrong because
right.
the baby was alone.
Right.
Which I don't really think that's, like, that weird of a thing. But, like, but it's, okay, so he heard a noise coming from the dining room and saw her alone on the bed. So he immediately grabbed his gun.
Oh, that's,
I don't
yeah.
know if I would have went from, my child's alone on a bed, I heard a noise in the kitchen, let me go grab my gun.
Yeah, no, I would have thought, like, maybe my wife fell
right.
or, like, you know.
Something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, he went right to, like, let me
yeah,
grab a
weird.
Gun. Which is a little weird.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, if that's your first instinct, that's
right.
your first
right.
instinct.
Right,
but whatever. So he grabbed his gun and he went into the dining room and he came to find Donna on her hands and knees with a man that he did not know or recognize attacking her with a hammer.
Oh.
Mark then shot the man while he was, like, walking into the dining room.
Right.
And the man fell backwards. Mark then says that the man tried to get back up and he shot him again in the forehead. He then went over to Donna and tried to give her CPR, but the man was still making noise, so Mark hit him in the chest with the hammer. And he stopped making noise after
okay.
that. Okay. And then he called 911.
Right.
So the police were able to ID the man, and I don't know if you can guess who this is, but
yeah.
it was Roger
right.
Harrington.
Right.
He was 27 at the time.
Wow.
So the police told Mark who the man was, and he was like, oh, shit, like, I actually do know this guy.
Right.
And proceeded to tell them what had
happened
previous. So not that the police thought that the story was, like, that he was saying was made up or anything, because
right.
they didn't. But Mark also showed them a statement that Donna had written out recounting the whole situation so that Mark could tell the transportation company.
Right, 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 right.
And Mark also told the police that morning he had called Roger himself and warned him to, like, leave his family alone. Okay. So the police dug deeper into Roger. Obviously. And they didn't really have to dig that deep because they were kind of familiar with him already.
Oh, God.
So, like I mentioned before, he had a history of domestic violence. He was arrested for this once. And he also had various mental health issues that led to things happening. Right. So the police knew that he had been known to have delusions in the past that led to him not being arrested, but, like, being called.
Right.
But it wasn't like he was, like, a major, like, crime, like, lord
right.
or whatever.
Right.
So the police then figured that Roger, for some reason, like, with his delusions, got obsessed with Donna to the point of calling her daily and possibly coming to the house.
Right.
So, at the scene itself, the hammer that was found actually belonged to the Winger family, and Mark told the police that Donna had actually taken the hammer out of the garage because they needed it to hang pictures, so it was sitting on the table.
Right.
They also found a gun on the table that was Mark's. And they also noticed a coffee mug and a pack of cigarettes on the table. And Roger's car was outside the house. So, like, he drove there.
Right.
So the crime scene and Mark's account both matched up. Right. And investigators considered this pretty, like, cut and dry case.
Of course.
So, obviously, they interviewed and looked into Mark, just in case. Because we always look at the husband.
Right.
Duh. And also, he did kill somebody.
Right.
yep. So, and which he admitted to.
Right.
So, he had no prior record. Nothing would indicate that he, like, would do anything other than act in self-defense.
Right.
So, he was cleared, and within 48 hours of the murder happening, the case was closed.
Interesting.
So, they were like, Roger did
it. Cut and dry, basically. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
So, now Mark had to go on living as a single dad, and this was a very large change, obviously. Right. And Donna's family, while obviously devastated, tried to support Mark as much as they could from Florida, and Donna's family strongly encouraged him to hire a nanny to relieve, like,
stress, obviously. Yeah.
And he ended up hiring this woman named Rebecca Simic, and once they started, like, they were, like, all, like, the family itself, like, her family and him were, like, kind of, like, hesitant because it was, like, oh, like, a new mom is taking care of her, and it's not my daughter or my wife or whatever.
Right.
But they ended up really liking her, and how she took care of, like, Bailey and Mark and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that Mark ended up falling in love with her.
Oh, God.
And she got pregnant in 1996.
Wonderful.
So the couple ended up eloping, selling the house, moving out into the country.
Wow.
And Rebecca ended up adopting Bailey after they got married.
Okay.
And then the couple ended up having 3 more kids.
Okay.
As well. So, this sounds like a terrible story with a closed case ending.
Right.
However,
it's not the case.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
So, one detective that was working the case from the very beginning just never thought that this case, like, sat right with him.
Right.
So, it was Detective Doug Williamson. And he was a rookie at the time, and he just didn't think that, like, everything was so, like, cut and dry as the police made it seem.
Out to be, okay.
So, it was a couple of things that he found odd about the case.
Okay.
And this is all happening, like, what I'm about to say is happening, like, right after she got murdered. Like, that same, like, within the year, this is what he thought about the case.
Right, okay.
So, one thing that he found odd was that Mark never asked to go to the hospital with Donna. So, like...
Oh. That's weird.
Yeah, so, like, he didn't ask, like, oh, like, can I go in the ambulance? Can I follow the ambulance? Like, he didn't ask any of that. And he said, like, Detective Williamson said, like, oh, I would have offered if he, like, asked, but he never asked.
Right.
So, he just thought that that was, like, weird.
Right, yeah.
He also found it strange that Donna would have, like, left their 3-month-old alone on a bed to go open a door for a man that she was afraid of.
Right.
Like, that didn't make sense. Like, why would she leave your daughter alone on a bed to go answer a door to a guy that you just had a bad experience with?
And she knows what he looked like.
Right, so. She was there. She was in the car. Also a weird thing, remember when I said that there was a coffee mug and a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah.
So Detective Williamson was the one that actually noticed that, and he asked Mark, because the pack of cigarettes and the coffee mug were right next to where Mark must have put his gun, like, after he shot him. And Mark had said, like, Detective Williams said, are those, like yours? And Mark said, no, they're not mine. They're Roger's. Which made no sense, because according to Mark, this guy came here to hurt his family.
Out of nowhere.
Why the fuck did he have a coffee cup and cigarettes, like, casually placed on the table? Like, that's weird.
Doesn't make sense, yeah.
So another thing that didn't make sense to this guy, this guy is very fucking smart, but nobody listened to him.
Oh, God.
was that Roger's car was parked right outside the house, and when they searched the car, obviously.
Right.
And inside the car, they found a knife and a tire iron, which both would have been great murder weapons.
Right, yeah.
And if this guy was going into the house to try and kill her or hurt or whoever the fuck, why the hell wouldn't he come in with a weapon that was in his car already?
Right.
Why would he use a hammer that was sitting on the table at their house?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And, like, was he assuming that there was just gonna be a random hammer?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
And even stranger is when they searched the car, they also found a note that said Mark's name. So it said Mark Winger on it.
Oh, God.
It said the address of the house, and it said 4:30 p.m. Kind of like a meet me at this address at 4:30.
Right.
Which, like, doesn't add up to Mark just being like, yeah, he randomly
While I was running on the treadmill. Like,
right, exactly. So, the detective noticed all of these things, but nothing was ever done about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's assumed it's because the type of, person that Mark was. Right. Is that his life was just, like, not perfect, but, like, everything seemed to be perfect in his marriage. Right. Like, his work life, his home, like, everything. There was no reason to think that, like, he was sketchy.
Right.
And he really wasn't. So,
Detective
Williamson tried to open this case after it got closed several times, but kept getting denied every single time. So, eventually, he just fucking let it go.
Of course. Like,
how many times are you gonna keep trying?
Right.
So, we're going to jump to 3 years later.
Okay.
3 years after her murder. Okay. In 1999.
Okay.
A woman named Deanne Schultz comes into the picture.
Okay.
Deanne was a close friend to Donna, and she one day randomly went to the police and tells them that this just isn't normal, and it completely, like, 180s this whole fucking case.
Oh.
So she says to them that she was having an affair with Mark.
Of course.
And she said that Mark and her started this whole thing about a month before Donna's death and continued it for several months after the fact.
Oh.
Deanne also tells the police that Mark told her that he wanted out of his marriage with Donna and said that, quote, it would be better if she just died.
Oh.
He also even asked Deanne to help him kill Donna to make that happen.
Oh. Why did she wait 3 years? Okay.
Also, just to put the nail in the coffin here, Deanne also told the police that Mark had told her about the Roger Harrington situation, and Mark said that he, quote, had to get this guy in the house.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. So the police were like, bruh.
Right.
What the fuck? So they obviously go talk to Mark.
Right.
Obviously. And Mark was like, I 100% had an affair with her.
Oh, not so gonna deny it. Okay.
But the rest of her story isn't fucking true.
Okay.
So he was like, totally slept with her, cheated on my wife, shitty person.
I'm great.
No problem. Not a murderer, though.
Interesting.
That's
okay.
The shtick that he's going with.
Okay.
So now that the police knew this guy was fucking shitty and his rep as, like, this good guy husband was kind of, like, out the fucking window.
Right.
They were like, maybe we should re-enter this case. So the police finally were like, all right, let's open this case back up, look at the evidence, like, see anything that we could have missed. And fucking A, did they miss a lot.
Oh, God.
So they looked at this with, like I said, like, fresh eyes and a new perspective.
Right, fine-tooth comb almost.
Yeah, not even, though, because if they would have looked at this for more than 5 seconds, they would have figured it out.
Okay.
Whatever. So they re-looked at some Polaroid pictures that had been taken of the bodies at the crime scene before they were moved. So, because remember, they were both alive, so they both got shoved in a fucking ambulance.
Right,
so,
makes sense.
It wasn't like they were, the police were actively staring at two bodies the whole time.
Yeah.
So they noticed that the story about how this guy was beating Donna with a hammer while she was on her knees, like she, you know.
Right.
She said that he was on her knees, he was beating her,
right.
He shot him, he fell backwards, then he shot him again while he was on the floor.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So if that were the case, when Mark shot Roger and he fell backwards, you would have expected to have seen his body laying behind Donna with his feet pointing towards her.
Okay.
Because he was standing over her while she was on her knees. So if he fell backwards, he would be in line.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
But the pictures of Roger has him pointing completely away from Donna. So his feet are the opposite direction.
Okay.
Which doesn't make any sense if he was standing behind her and fell backwards.
Right.
So they also noticed that if Roger was beating Donna with a hammer, Roger should have had blood spatter on his shirt and pants. And he had none of it.
Interesting. Okay.
But Mark was the one that was covered in blood.
Hmm.
And he did have consistent blood patterns on his shirt and pants.
Okay.
So, also, the way that Mark claimed to have shot Roger also isn't consistent with what they saw.
Okay.
So, Mark said that he shot Roger once from the hallway, like, entering the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And then again in his head, while he was on the ground looking up at him.
Right.
So, what's shown is that the first shot was at the back of his head, but near the top of it.
Okay.
Not from, like, somewhere where you could reach from a distance. It was, like, up, like at the crown of his head.
Right,
not, like, in the back of it.
Right.
Which wouldn't make sense if you were shooting somebody from just behind.
Right.
The second shot also didn't match up with an angle of shooting somebody that was looking up at you from the ground.
Okay.
So, the police had not really paid attention also to a statement that was made by a neighbor about the sound of the gunshots, so now they re-looked at that as well. And the neighbor said that the gunshots were a few minutes apart. So not like he said where it was like he shot him in the back of the head, he turned to his wife, did CPR, heard him moving and shot him again. It was like a good 5 minutes apart.
Okay. Calculated, almost.
Yeah.
Right.
So now investigators are like piecing together what they think happened.
Right.
And this is what they believed happened.
Okay.
So, remember I said Mark called Roger that morning?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they think that the phone call was to lure Roger into the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not known what they talked about, obviously.
Right.
But they're thinking that it was something along the lines of Mark saying, like, hey, like, I didn't mean to get you suspended.
Right.
Why don't you come over and talk about how we can get your job back, and maybe if you just apologize, we're good.
Right.
So assuming that the note was correct, that they found, they would have met at 4:30 at his house.
Right.
This would also explain why the coffee cup and the cigarettes were being casually placed on the table, because Roger thought that he was just going there to have a conversation, so why wouldn't you bring in your cigarettes and your coffee?
Right. And leave your knife in the car.
And your tire iron.
Right.
So, they think that then when Roger arrived, Mark made Roger get on his knees and shot him in the back of the head.
Oh.
So this would have explained the angle of the first
shot. Makes sense.
And it also would have made Roger fall forward.
Okay.
So then they think that Donna had heard the noise of Mark literally killing somebody.
Right.
And left the baby on the bed, because why would you go to endanger your child if you heard a gunshot?
Right.
Like, she walked into the dining room, and Mark hit her in the head with the hammer.
Okay.
So the police also listened back to the 911 call again, and you know when Mark was saying, like, my baby's crying, my baby's crying? In the background, you can hear somebody, like, moaning.
Oh, God.
And the police think that this is why Mark hung up.
Right.
Because they think that Mark heard Roger moaning, hung up the phone, flipped Roger over onto his back, and then shot him in the head.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
This scenario explains that the neighbor saying the sounds of the shots were a few minutes apart.
Right.
Because he would have shot him, called 911, beat his wife.
Right.
And then, you know.
Right. Makes sense.
Right. So, Roger also had no evidence of being hit with a hammer in the chest, like Mark said that he did. Mm-hmm. So the police think that he made that up to explain why his fingerprints would have been on the hammer.
Okay.
Which also, like, kind of makes no sense, because his fingerprints would have been on it anyway, because it's
right.
his hammer.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes no sense.
But I guess maybe, like, blood, like, right. fingerprints.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, in 2002, Mark was arrested for first-degree murder.
Good.
Of two accounts, of Donna and Roger.
Right.
The whole trial went on. Very clear that the prosecution had a solid case. Mm-hmm. The police literally spent 2 whole years making sure that they had a solid right. case. And in 2002, he was charged with both murders and were sentenced to life in prison nice. Without the possibility of parole. Okay. Both Roger's family and Donna's family were obviously shocked, of course. But relieved that this was over.
Right.
Rebecca, his... Mm-hmm. started out as a nanny, but his wife right. raised all of the kids by herself.
I was gonna say.
Changed their last names to her maiden name.
She kept Bailey, too?
Yep.
Aww.
Yeah. So, and they got a divorce, obviously.
Right.
And the entire family, including the kids, have had zero contact with Mark.
Nice.
However, that's not all she wrote for Mark.
Oh.
So... In 2005, there was an inmate that was serving time with Mark, and he goes to the police and tells them that Mark tried to get him to take part in a murder-for-hire plot.
Oh, cool.
Who is he trying to quill?
Yeah.
Great question. Thank you for asking. Deanna Schultz.
Well, duh.
Obviously.
I mean, makes sense.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, well, you may be thinking, like, oh, like... this other inmate could have just, like, made it up to get, like, a reduced sentence.
Right.
Like, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
No, that's not what happened. Because Mark Deadass wrote a whole plot.
Oh, my God.
A 19-page long plot stating what he was going to do.
Oh, God.
So he stated that he was going to have her kidnapped.
Oh.
Forced to give statements saying that she made everything up and then kill her.
Okay.
That's not all.
Uh-huh.
There's also one more person in this 19-page fucking plot that he was also going to try and kill.
Uh-oh.
And his name was Jeffrey.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
He was one of Mark's friends.
Okay.
And he was mad, Mark was mad, at Jeffrey because he wouldn't post bail for him, which, by the way, was $1 million.
Right. So.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was going to have him kidnapped, demand the $1 million in exchange for he wouldn't kill his whole family and him.
Oh. Okay.
So, there's that.
Interesting.
So he was charged with 2 counts of solicitation of murder.
Right.
And, he said, no. No, you don't understand. This is not what it looks like. This is just a fantasy thing. Like, I really wasn't gonna do
it. Right, right, right.
The jury was like, yeah, sure, bud. And found him guilty.
Of course.
And this is why I said before, like, I don't understand. Because he was sentenced to 5 years on top of his life sentence.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Which seems like, no, there's no fucking point.
Yeah.
But that is the case of...
Wow, I need to look him up now. Can I look him
up? None of them look creepy.
Okay,
well... I mean, he looks like a classic, like, nerd. Because he's a nuclear engineer. His name's Mark Winger.
Winger. Mark. Not Wahlberg. Winger. Oh, yeah, they don't look... They don't also don't look anything like I would expect them to look.
Yeah, but they don't look like... And then you can look up Roger, and he was, like, just, like, a kid, like a...
What was his name?
A Roger Harrington.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he doesn't look like he has any issue. Like, you know, like the anything like they say, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like... Yeah, he just looks like a... He just looks like a kid. But, like, could you imagine, like...
No.
Be, like, he literally... had, like, mental health issues.
Right.
And then was...
just going to get his job back.
Yeah, and he was, literally blamed for murder.
That's
for
so
years.
Terrible. Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That's why I was like, what is this case?
Yeah,
because
that's insane.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
It is a good one.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Okay. Well, that's... I'm sorry that I'm down and in the dumps, but that really made me sad because I thought it was going to be a close case.
Right, like simple, like this creepy guy. But no, it's always the husband.
It is always the husband. That's why he always becomes the...
Always a husband who has an affair.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just crazy that the police, like, overlooked.
Which is weird because normally they don't do that, so.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, the, like, pictures that it, like, said, because, like, there's a 48 hours mm-hmm. and a cold case files on this. They said, like, the Polaroid pictures, the police didn't even look at them.
Really?
Like, when this case, like, the first, like, this time this is happening. They didn't even look.
Yeah, it's so weird. I guess when you think, I don't know, because when you have an eyewitness, technical, unquote, you think you'll know, like, but.
I guess. Right. But, like, and, like, also, if this girl didn't come forward, that he would have gotten away with murder.
Right.
Two murders.
Right. Yeah, that's a little bit insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, don't ever do that.
Good advice.
That's all I got for you guys.
Don't, just don't. Do
just
that.
Don't
murder.
Just don't.
How about let's not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't have an affair either.
Yeah.
If you would like to go fuck somebody that's not your wife, just get a divorce.
There we go. That should be good. That's how we should end it. Follow us on Instagram.
Have Fuck Me Podcast.
Hit us up on Facebook.
Future is Bright Podcast.
Send us a Gmail.
futuresbrightpod@gmail.com.
Follow us on TikTok.
Future is Bright Pod.
Subscribe to our YouTube.
Future is Bright Pod. Okay.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. I really liked ending it on that one. That's why I was just like, we're done. That's it.
We're done.
That's it. Just don't do it.